Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem BPJ, Shir number 107. That's by Splimi Joint for Men and Women, Shir number 107. We're in a chapter in the book Setting a Table for Two by Avram Peretz Friedman regarding communication. And now we're going to talk about giving your spouse your full attention. This is extremely crucial in our generation, especially in the last 20 so years. This has been on the decline. We all know that we can multitask. Very impressive that we can multitask, do many things at once. And it doesn't take much mental effort to sift through and delete your emails and do it mindlessly. Emails are not a person sitting in front of you or standing right in front of you. It doesn't work with your spouse, with your husband and wife. There's no such thing as multitasking. Now, you may think you're engaged fully in a conversation because you're sharp. So you're listening to your husband or your wife as you're looking at the phone, or you're distracted about this and that. So your brain may work well where you hear every word and you know how to respond. And externally, it looks very nice. But and you think you're fully engaged in the conversation as you're really doing something else also. But what you're really doing is you're sending a subtle message. You're not invested. You're not giving your full attention to that your husband or wife deserves. It does not matter that your responses are all on point, because you could multitask. So you're actually listening to what your husband or wife is saying. It doesn't matter. It does not prove you're fully present and engaged in the conversation. Why? Because your verbal cues you're sending undermines everything smart you're saying. So your word diction, because you're smart and you pick up and you didn't miss any words and you have in your brain the concept of what your husband or wife is saying as you're looking at the phone or thinking about this and that, it may sound perfect to you, but it's not being truly present. And it's sensed, and it creates a lasting impression and in memory for your wife or husband that this exchange that you're saying now is not important to you. When you speak to each other, you look them in the eyes, not like a stalker or a hypnotist, but in a healthy way, you look in the eyes, connect. That's how your spouse will feel nourished and feel nurtured. So that's the idea. Do not multitask. Pay a single attention, direct focus to your husband and wife, talking to each other, communicating with each other. And of course, how do you do that? What goes along with it is to remove distractions. He says that, in the past 25 years, now it's probably more than 25 years, but there's an explosion of communication and technology, cell phones, emails, internet, social media. And those of us who use and rely on it, we find ourselves hard-pressed to do without it, like we can't exist without it. It is in what he calls, and I agree, an extremely mixed blessing. It's a big bracha in many ways. You could accomplish tremendous things. People became talmidei chachamim by using the internet the right way and keeping up with daf yomi and other shiurim, and it's beautiful. But and chesed, and so many good things could be done with it, but it poses also great threats to mental health, tremendous great threats to mental health in all ages, especially the children and teenagers that are growing up with technology. It poses great threats to inner balance of a person. And on shalom bayis, tremendously negative effect on shalom bayis, and on shalom over the family. Children are being hurt by this. Young children, teenage children are being hurt by this. Each of these technological tools provides access to messages and to images that may be inappropriate, that is also very dangerous, and it could threaten psychological health by depriving us of our privacy and peace, even when it's not technically inappropriate. We find we're never alone with our thoughts. People forgot the ability to sit still and think through things, using your thought process, working through emotions in a healthy way. People don't do this anymore. They right away run and escape into these things. We neglect our families as a result as well. There's always a way for the outside world to intrude and shatter our quiet and our solitude. And it doesn't make a difference if you're extroverted or introverted. Even if you're extroverted, and when you're extroverted, so you healthily communicate with real people, the running away in technology very often is dangerous. And then he says as follows, I quote, "The outside world can indiscriminately reach into our most private places and disrupt our concentration, intrude on our reveries, and crowd us by depriving us of sustained thought, healing quiet, and essential privacy. There's a reason they're called cell phones. We are imprisoned by them. We ignore or dismiss these dangers at our risk. It is no surprise that marriages suffer from these intrusions." I heard once a Torah, again, it was of course an anti-internet asifa, most probably. And again, there's two schools of thought about internet. Wipe it out completely, which very nice, but I think most Gedali Yisrael disagree with this. I don't want to misquote, but Ramat Tzviot Salem was very much railing about the dangers of internet very, very strongly. But him, among others, many, many others, realize because it's here to stay, you have to learn how to deal with it, educate how to protect yourselves, and use it right. The idea of totally wiping it out of our lives is not realistic. We have to learn how to be careful and use it in the right, balanced way. But there are dangers there. There's no question about it. Serious dangers. And in Eicha, it's fascinating. Someone brought this up. Olam mavis b'chaloneinu. So Pashup Shad is that the death came, appeared in our windows, meaning we're in our homes, and death came upward into our homes. In Eicha, this is brought down. And of course, chaloneinu is windows. Windows is one of the features, of course, in the most basic internet concept from in the windows. The windows, the death came up in our windows. We have to be careful. It's a source of life when used the right way. It's a source of death, as Eicha says, Olam mavis b'chaloneinu, if used the wrong way. There's nothing more disturbing, and we're used to it, so we just get simply maybe minorly annoyed by it, but it's tremendously disturbing to a husband or wife that their partner, their husband or wife, is texting with someone in the middle of a conversation. Is that person at the other end of that conversation really important? Is that message really so time sensitive? It has to be sent or read right away? And you can't talk to your wife in a normal way. You can't talk to your husband and focus on him. It would be ideal to turn off the cell phone as you walk in the door at the end of the day and leave it off for a significant period of time. Eating supper together or finish helping the kids with the homework, doing everything you need to do. And to be flocked into and focused on your spouse and your children. If it's too much to do, then wait in your car, finish up what you need to do in your cell phone, and then turn it off until you're done interacting. This also, by the way, could interfere tremendously with intimate life. People complain about their intimate, physical intimate life going down the tubes for many reasons. The hookup of phones, this has disrupted normal family life overall, including physical intimate life. When each one or the other is focused on different distractions on the phone and they're side by side in the bed, each one doing their own thing on their phone, looking up this, doing that, the other thing, it is a very, very bad habit. That has to also be monitored. It would be wise where a husband and wife make up between themselves. You know, we both, if we want to use it, need to use it once the kids are and everything and you connect it, you need a little downtime. Again, we're talking about in the kosher way, that you look up whatever you want to look up or respond to whatever you need to respond and do whatever you need to do. Sometimes you need an outlet to listen to an interesting thing. You know, I'm talking about, of course, all in a healthy kosher way. But at some points, they need to make up between themselves. We're both shutting this down. We're both shutting this down and we're connecting. and we're connecting, we're talking, we're having conversations, we're toning down, winding down, especially those nights where you're both scheduled, you know, you work between yourselves, you know you're going to have, be physically intimate, especially those nights, you wind it down early, you make a commitment to shut it down, shut the technology down, and focus on each other. Nothing will run away from that. Nothing will go away. That's, you know, nothing important will be lost. It's one of those things that I learned early on. There is a book called The Seven Effective... it's a classic book called The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Tremendous book. So if you have a piece of paper, you make like a square, like sort of a, well, call it a cross, but basically, yes, a four-cornered cross, basically four sections, and you write down on one of them, urgent and important, and then the opposite, not urgent, not important, and then the two middle ones, important, not urgent, and urgent, not important. It's one of those things he put on a model in the book, and this is a yesoid. That is a tremendous yesoid that will help in life and in marriages in particular. Urgent and important, which is the top priority, obviously is if there's something really pressing that's come out an emergency or very, very important. A child is not well, you have to take care of that child. Something came up with pikuach nefesh or something, even if it's not mamish pikuach nefesh, of something extremely important, a certain chesed that needs to happen, a certain task that needs to be done. So in life, of course, you dwell as much as possible in something that's urgent, meaning it's time pressing, it needs to be done very shortly, and it's important. Everyone, that's a no-brainer. Then you have the opposite extreme, not urgent, not important, which is basically a lot of the wasted time of watching mindless movies, for hours and hours and hours on end, or sports or politics and all these things for hours and hours on end. It doesn't get you any sipuach nefesh ultimately. It's just a distraction and escape, has no value intrinsically whatsoever. Not urgent, not important. And then you have the two middle ones. One middle one is fascinating, urgent and not important. Now what, why is it urgent then if it's not important? And this is what we're talking about in this particular share. The urgent, not important, which a lot of people fall into because they think, oh, it's urgent, it needs to be taken care of, are those tons of emails and texting and interactions where if you really, really think things through, most of the Instagram people who are on Facebook and Instagram, there are many people, even when they're not religious or not so religious, or people who use Facebook and Instagram sometimes realize, is sapping away my life. There's an urgency there because you get a like, you get a connection, and you connect back, you get a response, you answer the response. So it seems urgent to you because it's, you know, you need to respond. But is it important in the scheme of things? Not important. We all, a lot go into this category. What do we neglect? And listen very carefully. We neglect the important, not urgent. That is what we neglect, and that's what we have to focus on. What could be important but not urgent? An example of this would be, you want to connect to your six-year-old child, and you, Shabbos afternoon, whatever it is, after a nap, and whatever it is, and you sit down on the floor with them, and you interact with them for 25 minutes. You play a game with them. You talk to them. Is there an urgency? Is someone saying, like, on the schedule, you have to do this? No. Is it important? Extremely important. The same thing applies in Shalom Bayis between a husband and a wife. When you have these connective conversations, is it urgent? Let's say you're not talking about something urgent. It's not something pressing right now where there's a crisis or some issue that has to be dealt with. No. So it's not urgent. It's not urgent. But it's important. The connective aspect of it. The bonding. What people quote-unquote view as boring, we have to really knock that out of the head. It's not boring. We can make it interesting, fascinating, important. This, no one, like you say, what's the big deal? So I talk, you close the phones and you connect and you have a half-hour conversation. You say to yourself, you know, what's the point? We talk to each other all the time. No, that's not the right approach. It is important. You connect. How was your day? How's your inner life? How are you feeling? What went on? I'm interested in your life. You're interested in my life. There's a connectivity there. It is important. Not urgent, but it is important. This model is a very, very wonderful model. Etz Hashem, I think maybe at some point on the feedbacks, shiurim, I'll give some shiurim on that particular book and those seven habits that are crucial, crucial for health, emotional health, interpersonal relationship health, and between husband and wife health. So this is the idea of giving your husband, wife, full attention. It takes effort sometimes, but it's extremely rewarding. You get back tremendous pay raise, tremendous gifts, physically, emotionally, and spiritually by doing this. Bracha v'atzlacha.